Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to worship. For all of those who are here, and for those who are online, we offer a special welcome to anyone who's visiting for the first time today, and we thank you for taking a chance on us, or those who are returning from visiting a few times. Know that we're honored that you've chosen this place to come and worship God with us together. I'm Pastor Ann, and I serve alongside Pastor Andy, who's on sabbatical, as most of you know. He will be back August 1st. But know that he's glad, and I'm glad, that all of you are here and that you are joining with us in as a community of faith here in Woodstock, where we are indeed committed to sharing in hope, living with purpose, for the sake of others. As we continue our summer series on the parables of Jesus, we come to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I've got to just stop for a minute because Susan did such a beautiful job welcoming us this morning with those words from Ben Carson. And Joni's prayer touched my heart deeply. I kept thinking in light of everything, that God is love, and that love is the way to overcome evil. And we forget that sometimes. So we're at that parable, though, on the Good Samaritan. We remember that every one of these parables that Jesus told, he told for one purpose, and that was to give us a better picture of what the kingdom of heaven actually looks like. Today's parable starts with a question posed by one of the experts in the law. And we're told that he asked this question to test Jesus. So please turn with me to the 10th chapter of Luke, verses 25 to 37, and let's hear how Jesus handles this testing and see what he wants to share with us today. Hear the word of God. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear most gracious God, we come to you today, seeking your face. In a world that's troubled, in a world that has pitted people against one another, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come, your will be done. So, Lord, speak to us today through this story that Jesus told. Help us see a better picture of what your kingdom looks like here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Don't you just love the way Jesus responds to this question? Jesus knows he's being tested, but he doesn't get defensive or he doesn't get angry like we might be if we feel like we're being questioned or tested. Jesus simply responds with a question of his own. He asks this expert in the law, what does the law say is necessary to gain eternal life? Now, of course, the expert in the law, he knows what to say. He knows that the law says that we are to love our God, the Lord our God, with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, this expert in the law quotes both Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18 in his answer. He is an expert in the law, after all, and he does know what the law says. And Jesus replies to him, do this and you will live. Sounds simple enough, right? Do this and you will live. But this expert's not satisfied with that answer. We're told in verse 29 that he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus another question. And who is my neighbor? In other words, this expert in the law, by asking this question, he wanted to prove that he was right. In this second asking question, he's entering into a deeper challenge with Jesus. He's essentially asking, who are the ones that I am to love? Are they the people like me? And with this question, it also indicates that there might possibly be some people that he doesn't have to love. And it's at this point when Jesus begins the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, that would have been, in that day and age, an oxymoron, the Good Samaritan. Because the Jews thought the Samaritans were not worth anything. The only good Samaritan would be one who was no longer existing. So the Good Samaritan is an oxymoron to them. Now, there are four characters in this parable, and we're going to take a quick look at each one of those characters. First, there's a traveler, and he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, as we look at this character, we need to be aware that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was very well known as a road that was dangerous. It was very dangerous. It was a narrow road. It was rocky. It had lots of curves. It had lots of places where those who wanted to do evil could hide out and attack those who were traveling. It was notoriously known as being a very dangerous road. So the people usually traveled in groups, in caravans, where it would be a little bit safer. Rarely ever did you find someone that would go on this road alone. But our traveler seems to be a little reckless in choosing to travel this road. And because he was traveling alone, he became easy prey for those robbers. He was attacked, he was robbed, and he was left to die. Next, we have the character of the priest. Jesus tells us about this priest who comes by and notices the man on the side of the road. He looks at him, and as he passes by, he moves to the other side of the road. He probably thought that the man was already dead, and that if he touched a dead man, according to the Jewish law, he would be deemed unclean, and therefore he could not serve in the temple. He could not perform his duty. He couldn't risk not being able to perform his duty. Next, we have the Levite. Jesus tells us that the Levite, like the priest, looks at the man lying on the road, but again passes on the other side of the road. Now, the Levites were those who helped the priest in worship. They were the musicians. They were the ones who took care of the temple. They were the ones who made preparations for worship. So both of these groups of people, the priest and the Levites, were highly regarded, at least by themselves, right? Now, we need to remember that the Levite knew the reputation of this road. It was notoriously known for being dangerous. Oftentimes, the bandits would use a decoy, one of their own, who would pretend to have been robbed. And then, when someone stopped to help them, they would be attacked and robbed. So the Levite might have thought that it was better to play it safe and not take any chances. Now, our last character is the Samaritan. Samaritans were the descendants of a mixed population that occupied the land following the conquest of the Assyrians in 722 BCE. They opposed the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. They were considered ceremoniously unclean. They were considered to be a social outcast. And they were also considered to be religiously a heretic by the Jews. In other words, a Samaritan would have been considered the very opposite of the expert in the law that Jesus was telling this parable to, as well as the very opposite of the priest and the Levite who had passed the injured man. Yet it was the Samaritan who looked at the wounded traveler and was moved to the depths of his being with pity. But he didn't just feel sorry for this wounded traveler. He took action to help. We're told that first, he bound up the man's wounds. He poured oil and wine on his wounds. And then he put the wounded man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and cared for him. But he didn't stop there. He paid the innkeeper, and he instructed the innkeeper to take care of the wounded man until he returned, at which time he would pay any additional expenses that the innkeeper incurred. Now, before we go on, I think it's important for us to stop and reflect on that just a little bit. First off, he may have been looked down on by the priest and the Levite and our expert in the law for being a Samaritan. But he was obviously known by this innkeeper to be an honest man, and to be someone that he could trust. The other thing for us to think about is the fact that he alone was prepared to help. And his help came at great cost to himself. First off, his journey was delayed. Secondly, he expended a lot of energy and time to take care of this man's wounds. He actually ended up risking himself to danger by staying there and taking care of him. And then he also spent extra money taking care, leaving this man in the care of the innkeeper. Now, some may have even judged him foolish for doing all of this for someone that he didn't even know. But even so, and even while he may have been considered a heretic by the Jews, our Samaritan had the love of God in his heart. You see, it's an issue of the heart that Jesus is bringing to light here. You know, we may look at it and say, okay, well, it's about doing things. And it is, but it's not. More than that. More than doing for this man, it was the issue of this man's heart. The other two people were just willing to leave him on the side of the road. But this man's heart would not allow him to do that. Now here's that hard question that we often ask ourselves as we study the stories in Scripture. Which one of these characters do you most strongly identify with? The reckless traveler? The duty-bound priest who couldn't chance not being able to do his duty? The play-it-safe Levite? Or the compassionate Samaritan? It might be that at different times and in different situations, we identify more with one of these characters. And in another situation, we might identify with a different one. But it's important for us to realize that as we seek to follow Jesus, our hearts are changed and we become more like him. The Samaritan responded to this situation as Jesus would have, with action that was based on compassion. Now, it's at this point in the story that we see Jesus taking the question that that expert in the law gave, and he turns it. It's almost like he flips it upside down. Remember, the expert asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And in that asking, he's basically indicating that there might be some people that are really not his neighbor. But now Jesus asks the question differently. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? In other words, Jesus is asking, which of these three loved the wounded man as he loved himself? Which of these three did for the wounded man what they would have wanted someone to do for them if they had found themselves in that situation? Now, in order to truthfully honor the definition of neighbor, the expert in the law had to lay aside all his previous judgments regarding all three in this story. It's at this point that the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Now, I think it's interesting that he was unable to say the Samaritan. He still had judgments against the Samaritan. But he recognized that it was the one who had mercy on him who was the neighbor, who loved the injured man as he loved himself. Jesus closes this parable with the words, "Go and do likewise." So what lessons are we to take from this parable? Okay. First off, I think there's an important lesson for us to look at that just because we have the right answers, it does not mean that we know God. You know, this expert in the law knew the right answers, yet he was trying to exclude some people from being his neighbor. God's desire is for us to know him and to know his love, not only for us, but to know his love for all his children. even those who don't know him. He wants his love to be made visible in our lives through the way that we share love with others. We live in a world where everyone is labeled and judged. This is a dangerous place to live. What could our world look like if we were able to see every other human being, every other human being, as a child of God who's worthy of love and mercy? Wonder if it would look a little bit like the kingdom of God. The second thing we might take from this story, we might take that we must be prepared to help others, even when they have brought trouble on themselves, as this traveler had done. He had been foolish. He had gone on this road by himself. Oftentimes we look at situations and we make judgments that keep us from reaching out to help another person when we see them making bad decisions. But you know what? God doesn't stop reaching out to us when we make bad decisions. Although we sometimes experience the consequences of our decisions, as this traveler did, God's compassion is always available to help us in our healing. It was God's love expressed through the Samaritan that led to the traveler's healing. And God's love expressed through us can lead to the healing of others too. The third thing we might take from this is anyone who is in need is our neighbor. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter whether they have the same point of view that we have. It doesn't matter how different from us they are. If they are in need, they are our neighbor. And the fourth thing, our help for others should be practical and not merely feeling sorry for them. Compassion to be real must lead to action. And this action will cost us, like it cost the Samaritan, energy, time, money, and sometimes even danger to ourselves. We might even be accused of being foolish for helping. But Jesus instructs us, just like he instructed the expert in the law, go and do likewise. Amen. Let us pray. Dear most gracious God, help us not be too busy. Help us not to allow fear to keep us from reaching out. Lord, help us to see the need that surrounds us. Sometimes physical need, sometimes emotional need, sometimes spiritual need. Give us eyes to see and hearts of compassion to respond. Help us to see our neighbors through your eyes, not through our eyes of judgment. And it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray, along with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.